Today's shiur is Masechta Ksubos Daf Chaf Dalad. We will begin on Daf Chaf Gimel Amud Beis at the Mishnah. At the bottom of the Amud. It teaches us the Mishnah. V'chein shnei anoshim, we have two men, ze oimer koinani, ze oimer koinani. Both of them coming and claiming that they are kohanim. Dalochi is ein anamonim. We can't accept their own testimony to rely on the fact that they're kohanim. And the Rishonim give a number of ways of explaining this Mishnah. One explanation that I saw is that Chazal said that when it comes to determine the status of a person, that a person himself cannot be relied on to make that statement, declaration, and then we could accept that statement. Other Mefarshim explain this a little deeper. They say, really, by right, a Kohen should be believed to say that a person should be believed to say he's a Kohen. The halacha is Eid Echad Nami B'Yisurin. We trust one aid, specifically on something like this, which is a Milsa David Leguya. The truth will eventually come out. And therefore, an individual saying that he's a Kohen ought to be trusted. However, because the person has something to benefit by saying he's a Kohen, as we know, a Kohen gets Trumos, a Kohen gets Matnas Kahuna, and he has a lot of benefit. That's why Chazal said we cannot rely on a person to say that he is a Kohen. Based on this explanation of the Mishnah, we could understand the Psak of the Ramah, because the Ramah says that nowadays a Kohen is trusted to say that he's a Kohen. Why is it different Bizman is that? Because Bizman of the Mishnah, where there was so much financial benefit in making this declaration, that's why Chazal didn't trust the person. Nowadays, there's really no significant potential benefit from being a Kohen. That's why we could trust the person to say he's a Kohen. Although I did see from the Chsam Seifer, Tshuva to Chsam Seifer, what about regarding Pinyan Aben? Nowadays, there's no financial benefit to being a Kohen, other than if the Kohen is asked to be a Kohen by Pinyan Aben, there he has financial benefit. And in fact, the Chsam Seifer, and it's well known that this was the minig of the Gra, said that if one is a Bechor, every time he finds a Kohen, he should redeem himself, because there's a suffix if he really had a proper Pinyan Aben. It's well known that what the Gra used to do, the Gra was a Bechor. And every time he met the Kohen, he tried to redeem himself, because there we have the greatest difficulty in accepting a person's declaration that he is a Kohen. The Rambam, agreeing, of course, with what the Mishnah says that a person cannot say that he's a Kohen, that he himself is a Kohen. However, the Rambam, interestingly enough, does comment that a person who says he's a Kohen, we don't bring him l'kula, but we believe him l'chumra, meaning that we wouldn't give him matnas kuna, we wouldn't give him truma, but he has to treat himself like a Kohen, because shavya nafsha chetichah desura. So he would not be allowed to go to a levaya. He would not be allowed to marry a woman that a Kohen is not allowed to marry, to the degree that the Rambam says that if he does, he has to separate himself from that wife, he would get Malkus. I did see that the Mishnah Lamelech says in regards to the Rambam that even if a person himself says he's a Kohen, and we're accepting what he says, L'chumra, that's only after 30 days. After 30 days that he's been acting as a Kohen, he established himself as a Kohen, then L'chumra would treat him as a Kohen. However, Ubizman Shemi Eden Zezeh, if it's not a situation where the person is speaking only about himself, but rather each one of these individuals is speaking about the other one, Dir Aloch is Hare Eilun Amonim, we could trust them to say that they're Kohanim. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, we can't rely on Eid Echad to identify the person as a Kohen. And as Rashi explains our Mishnah, and this will be very relevant to Mitzvah Shem and understanding the Gemara also, our Mishnah is referring to a situation which is known in Chazal as Goimlin. Goimlin means that we're concerned that they have a deal. So we have these two individuals walking in. Each one says, I'm a Kohen and so is my colleague. So we're concerned that they maybe made a deal with each other, that they're going to say this, that they should be established as Kohanim. Says Rashi, Rabbi Yehuda's opinion in the Mishnah is not related to that. Meaning, even in a situation where there is no Goyim, Just an individual aide, an aide echad walks in and says, this person's a kayin, so there's no gaimlin here. Still, we don't accept his testimony. We don't, and we'll discuss this more in today's shir, mitzvah tomorrow's shir, why an aide echad cannot be relied on, according to Rabbi Yehuda, to identify someone as a kayin. Amar Belezer, Amosai, b'makayim sheyesh oirin. Av makom shein oirin, mal kun al pi aide echad. So as Rashi explains, what Rabbi Elazar is saying is normally we can rely on an eid echad to identify someone as a kayin. However, if there's any reason to suspect that there's something not right here, then an eid echad is not sufficient. So therefore, if there's oirim, if the people challenging what this eid echad says that this person is a kayin, we can't rely on eid echad. If there's a concern of goyim that we just described, again, Rabbi Elazar will say we cannot rely on eid echad. Ava b'makom she'ein oirim, where it's a simple case, there according to Rabbi Elazar, mal kun al pi eid echad. Rav Shimon Gamliel, Rav Shimon Hasagan, mal kun al pi eid echad. And again, at first glance, it seems that Rav Shimon Gamliel is agreeing with the Tanakama, and Rav Shem, in tomorrow's shir, the Gemara is going to try to explain what is the difference between the Tanakama's opinion and Rav Shimon Gamliel's opinion. So, to review, it's good to review anyway, but to review what we've been learning in this parak, especially because we needed to understand the Gemara we're going to learn now. Our Mishnah, our Mishnayis, have been teaching us a number of examples of Pesha Asa Pesha Etam. The first example was the Mishnah that said that Rabbi Yeshua, or Maida Rabbi Yeshua, that if a man said to someone else, Sada Zushal Avicha Haisa, this field belonged to your father, the Kanisi Menu, I brought it from him, he's believed because of Pesha Asa Pesha Etam. The next Mishnah taught us that Edom Sha'amru, if Edom come and testify, Ksav Yudenu, this is our signature of a Ketanam Hayinu, Anusim Hayinu, Psuli Edus Hayinu, again they believe Pesha Asa Pesha Etam. Then the Mishnah taught us that if a woman said, Eishes Ish Hayisi, if I was an Eishes Ish, V'grushani, but I was divorced, again, Namenis, Hapesha Asa Pesha Etam. Then the Mishnah came on and came along and said that if a woman said, Nishbeisi V'tahirani, I was captured and I'm still tar. Again, the Mishnah said, Pesha Asa Pesha Hitta. Then we had the Mishnah, getting a little closer to home, right on top of this Amit, Shtei Nashim Shenishbu, if two women were captured, and each one says Adis, Nishbeisi V'tahirani, each one says Adis about the other one, Hare Elu Namonis. And then we had our Mishnah, that speaks about Zayim Mekayin and Niva Zayim Mekayin, and each one speaking about the other, and we had the Machloikis that we just finished learning. So the question that our Gemara is going to ask is why do we need so many Mishnayis to teach us the concept of Pesha Asa Pesha Hitta? And as the Pnei Yeshua asks, he says, it's a great kasha, but this isn't the place to ask it, because the Mishnah we just learned has nothing to do with Pesha Asa Pesha Hitta. The Mishnah here has to talk about when do we accept a person's own declaration or Adam's declaration that he's a Kayin. It has nothing to do with Pesha Asa Pesha Hitta. Why did our Gemara wait till now? So Pnei Yeshua answers, if we didn't have our Mishnah, we could say that the Mishnah taught us the concept of Pesha Asa Pesha Hitta by the case of a woman saying, Nishbeisi v'tahirani, that it was caught, and I'm tahar, to teach us the next halacha, that two women who speak about each other are trusted also. So that's why the Mishnah brought in the case of Nishbeisi v'tahirani, not to teach us Pesha Asa Pesha Hitta, that we already know. To teach us the other din. And why would that din be true? That if two women came, as we learned in the previous Gemara, and said, each one said about the other one that we were both captured, we were both taught the belief, so we would suggest because b'shvuya kil barabonin. When it comes to shvuya, we discussed this, it was discussed in the previous year, Chazal were more lenient. But now our Mishnah just taught us another din. Our Mishnah taught us that even by Kohanim, where two individuals walk in, and each one says that that the other one is a kayin, they were believed. Now, there is no concept of a shvuya kil barabonin. If in that case, they're trusted, according to the Tanakama, certainly in the case of shvuya, they should be trusted. So now, the Mishnah, the previous Mishnayis that spoke about shvuya become superfluous, and that's why the Gemara waited till now, says the Pnei Yeshua, to ask this question, kohani lamali, why do we need all these Mishnayis to really essentially teach the same din? Answers the Gemara, Tzricha. Ditana, if we only had the first Mishnah that taught us Maidra of Yeshua, then in case where I said, Sadazushal Avicha Isa, the Kanisi Mimenu, the disfilia belonged to your father and I bought it from him, Mishum the Ika Dror the Mamina. We have Machlekes Rashi and Taisa that Dror the Mamina is. Rashi explains it this way. A person coming in, what's the concern by Pesha Asa Pesha Hita? The concern Pesha Asa Pesha Hita is that perhaps the person said something, and as he said it, he recognized he was shooting himself in the foot with what he was saying, so he tried to retract. But he didn't, it's not the truth. Says Rashi in explaining Dror HaDamayna, when somebody comes and says, Sada Zushal Avicha Haisa, it was your father's Abba Kadisa Mimeno, so the person who's going to lose is the person himself. Because if it remains your father's field, I can't remain on the field. Nobody would say it. So that's why when he says, Sada Zushal Avicha, Abba Kadisa Mimeno, it's obvious that his intent was to make that entire statement, both parts of the statement, just we're human beings, we only could say one word at a time. That's why we believe him. That's how Rashi learns. Taisus learns because we have a chazaka, and a person's on the field, as do we, especially the way we learned the Mishnah, and nobody has any proof that he doesn't that this field is not his. That's why the chazaka corroborates that this field is his, and that's why we believe we're the Peshas Peshetta. Aval Adam, the Lekka Dror HaDamayna. If Adam come in and say that this is our signature, but there they have no personal interest, or following Tyson's explanation, they have no chazaka. Amaloi, perhaps they said the statement and then they just retracted, which they're not allowed to. That's why we have that Mishnah to teach us that we say Peshas or Peshetta then. Vitana Adam, on the other hand, Mishum Dalalma. You know why we trust Adam? They have no personal interest. So certainly we should rely on the Peshas or Peshetta when they say that this there was a problem with this signature. Aval Ihu, Dil Nafshi, when the person is speaking about the field where he has the most to gain, perhaps aim away. We shouldn't apply Peshas or Peshetta to believe him. Vyashmin Hani Tarti, if we only learnt these two cases, Mishinda Mamina, the situations of Mammon, where the person wins a financial litigation. Aval Eshesish, in a case where a woman came in, as we just reviewed, and said, Ashes Ish Hayisi, I was an Ashes Ish of Grushani, this surah, where now it's not a question of dollars and cents anymore. Now it's a question of Issa Heter, is she or is she not married? A Maloy, we ought not perhaps to trust her with a Peshas or Peshas Heter. That's why we needed that case. So ask the Rishayim the obvious question. So why don't we just have the question, just the case of Ashes Ish Hayisi of Grushani? And if she's believed there with a Peshas or Peshetter, she certainly should be believed that Adam or the person should believe regarding Mammonis. So the way that we try to explain is that Halacha views two types of categories of questions. There's Isser and there's Mammon. Each travel in their own sphere with their own Halachas. And one can't be learned from the other because each has its own unique characteristics. That's why I need Mishnayis to teach us that regarding Dine Mammonis, we apply the concept of Peshas or Peshetta, and that's why we need a Mishnah to teach us that we apply the concept of Peshas or Peshetta regarding Isser, and since they're so different from each other, one cannot be learned from the other. Nishbeisi v'tayrani namali. But now ask the Gemara, why do I need the case of Nishbeisi v'tayrani? That already is another example of Peshas or Peshetta regarding Isser, which we already established, we say. Answers the Gemara, Mishum the Kabbalah Misni, as we learned in the Mishnah on Daf Chof Beis Oman Aleph, the Mishnah Nisus Bo Edim, Harezu Loitaitsei, that's why we needed it. So as we learned, just to review the Gemara that was learned in Daf Chof Gimel Oman Aleph, to review the Mishnah in Daf Chof Beis Oman Aleph, the Mishnah first spoke about the case that Isha said, Eishas Isha Yisiv Grushani, and she's believed with a Peshas or Peshetter. But if we anyway know she was an Eishes Ish, we wouldn't believe it. Then the next Mishnah, the next case of our Mishnah, taught us the din of Nishbeisi v'tahirani, which we just described. And again, she's believed because of Peshas or Peshetter. And then the Mishnah said that if we anyway knew she was captured, then she doesn't have a Peshas or Peshetter. However, the Mishnah ended with the words, v'mshenissus bo edim, as after, and as we learned in the previous blot, after Bezdin gave her a heter to get remarried, the Edom arrived, then the Halacha is a Reza Loteitzah, she remains with that Heter. And as was learned in Daf Chaf Gimel, there's a Machloikis, this last line of the Mishnah. If Mishnissus Bo Edom a Reza Loteitzah, regarding what case of the Mishnah is it going on? Is it going on the Reisha, and certainly on the Sefer, or is it going only on the Reisha? Machloikis that we learned in the previous year. So says the Gemara, if we're going to learn like the Manda Omer that says, Mishnissus Bo Edom HaRezul Oteitzei is referring to the Sefer, so now I understand why the Mishnah had to bring the case of Omer Nishbeis of Tahirani to teach us this new din, that Mishnissus Bo Edom HaRezul Oteitzei. But if we're going to learn that this line, this din, even refers to the Reisha, and as we learned in the previous plot, certainly on the Sefer, so we're back to where we started. There's nothing new in the Sefer. So why does the Mishnah bring down this case? According to the Manda Omer that says that the din of Mishnah Sipo Edom is only going in the Sefer, that's why we had to bring down the case of Nishbeis Sivat Tairani to teach us this din of Mishnah Sipo Edom. According to Manda Omer that learns it on the Reisha, and certainly on the Sefer. So again, what is new in the Sefer? Ma'ikal Amemer, what do we need? The Sefer. Answers the Gemara. Because we want to learn the Mishnah of Shtei Noshim Shenishbu, the Mishnah on Daf Chabez on the top. That's why we already bring all the cases about women who were captured. Ask the Gemara, V'shtei Noshim Nishbu Lomeli. And what is the Chiddush of that Mishnah? Answers the Gemara, Ma'adatayim and Nechesh Lagomlim. We should be concerned that if two women walk in and both say we were captured, and both are speaking about the other colleague and saying that Avo Torah, she's Torah, and the other one's saying that Torah, so we maybe should be concerned they have some collusion between themselves. That's why we needed Kamash Malon, that we're not concerned about that. Ask the Gemara, so why do we have our Mishnah? The Chen Shtei Noshim Lamali answers the Gemara, Mishum the Kabbalah Misni Plukt Rebuyudu Rabbanan, and as the Pnei Yeshu explains, in the case of Shvuya, where two women walk in, and each one testifying about the other, their Chazal were not concerned about Goimlin. But in our Mishnah, we see there's a Machlaikis. And maybe that we are concerned about Goimlin, because there is no concept of Shvuya Kilabar Rabbanan. That's why we needed our Mishnah. Says the Gemara, quotes a Braisa, Tan Rabbanan, Ani Koyin, the Chaveri Koyin. If somebody walks in and says, I am a Koyin, and so is my colleague, Nemen lachila b'truma, he's trusted to give him to eat truma. He's trusted regarding the fact that he's a kohen to eat truma. Vein and nemen l'si isha regarding yichus, there we don't trust him. Achehi gimel until we have three individuals, shnayim midim alzeh, shnayim midim alzeh. We have to have two edim establishing that he's a kohen. And Rishash brings two pshatim. One pshat is, That's the right pshat, he says, is that we have three individuals, and each one of them claims to be a Kohen, so everybody has two Edom that are saying that he's a Kohen. That's when we trust him. But he does quote another pshat. He quotes another pshat that if three individuals walk in, and they all claim to be Kohanim, even though each one of them has two Edom saying there's a Kohen, we still have a chashash of goyimun, because we're concerned that they made this conspiracy amongst themselves. However, the chashash says that's not true. Once we have two edim saying that someone is a kohen, even if there's reason to have a concern that we have a situation of goyimun, Chazal weren't concerned. So now we have another interesting machlokes Rashi and Tosfos. The Rabbanan in this braisa taught us that in such a situation where somebody says, Ani koyin, the chaveri koyin, nem l'chalila b'tshuma, then nem l'asi isha. He's not concerned, he's not believed to marry, get married. So, there's a machloikis, Rashi and Tosfos, what is en nem l'asi isha? Rashi is very machmer. Rashi says, en nem l'asi isha means we have to be concerned in general, what is the status of an individual? Not only are we concerned they may not be a kohen, we may be concerned that he's a mamzer, he's a nason, he's a goy, all sorts of disqualifications. Even though the achrayim and rishayim ask on Rashi that we find many times in Shas that the halach is that if a person, this is very relevant, l'aloch, l'maitza, that if a person walks in and says that I'm a Jew, we trust him. How come Rashi all of a sudden here doesn't trust him? So the Bach explains, when is the halacha that we trust a person that he's not disqualified, that he's not a mamzer, that he's not a nosan, is if we know that this individual is a Jew. Everybody knows he's part of the community. He's a Jew. We never really went through the experience of investigating, is he a mamzer or he's not a mamzer. There we don't have to investigate that. However, our Gemara says, the Bach, is referring to a situation where an individual came to town. Nobody knows him. Somebody shows up. And he claims to be Jewish. So Rashi says, how do I know he's Jewish? I don't know what he is. And therefore, ein nemen lasi ishay. Tosfos has a whole different shot in the Gemara. Tosfos, following what I said, says that if a person claims to be Jewish, we don't have to be concerned that he's a mamzer or a nothing. It's only regarding the chumra of Kayin. Is he a Kayin or is he not a Kayin? And if he is a Apostle Kayin, then his wife will become a Chalola if he marries her. His children will be Chalolim. That's what he's not trusted. Rabbi Huda disagrees, and we'll explain Rabbi Huda's opinion more on Amud Beis. Af Eino Nemer L'Achil B'Truma. He's not trusted to eat Truma. Achei Shloisha. We need, for any aspect of the Kohuna, we need three people. Shnayim Me'idim Azeh, V'Shnayim Me'idim Azeh. Two Edim establishing that he's a Kohen. Otherwise, we don't even let him eat Truma. L'memra, Rabbi Yehuda Chayish L'Goyman. So it seems that Rabbi Yehuda is the mandami here that's concerned about a deal. And that's why when we have these individuals all testifying about each other that they're Kohanim, we don't trust them. Rabbanim, who are more lenient, and as far as Truma at least, trust these individuals, obviously Loi Chayish L'Goyman. Ask the Gemara, Rav Chav Shemin Allah. There's a Mishnah Masechet Damai that says just the opposite. The Tanan, Hachamorim Shenichnasu L'Ir. Truck drivers arrive in the city. Vama Echmehen, and his Machloikis Hachroinim, is the fact that they're truck drivers. And obviously, Amaratzim, a factor here. From Rashi, it's very obvious that that's also taken into consideration because the Amaratzim, they're not normally trusted. But if they were not Amaratzim, perhaps we should trust them. The Chazanist says that's not the way to understand the Mishnah. The Chazanist says the Mishnah mentions truck drivers because truck drivers are the people that bring the produce. But that's not the factor here. So I'm Echemhen, and one of them said, Shalich Chadish v'Shachaveri Yoshin. Chadish and Yoshin here doesn't mean, like it usually means in Shas, the halachic Chadish and Yoshin. Here, Chadish and Yoshin means old and new. And typically, older produce was better, because it had opportunity to become ripe and dry. Newer produce wasn't ripe, wasn't dry. And he also says, Shali ain't a masukin, my produce wasn't taken off Trumas and Maisers, but Shachaveri masukin, whereas my colleagues was. And as Taisva says, this statement, the two parts of the statement, are very connected to each other. Who is going to come and denigrate his own material and say, Shali chadash? That's why when the person coming in and saying that my produce is poor quality, and then he also says that Trumas and Maisers weren't, and the other gentleman's, everything is perfect, it's great quality, there's no kashrus problem with it, says the Tanakama in a Neumann. Why? Because we're concerned for Gaimun. We're concerned that these two individuals have a deal. In this town, I'll praise your product and denigrate mine, and then in the next town, we'll do the opposite. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Nema, we trust them. So we see that in this Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda is the man, the Omer, that's not concerned for Goyimim, and Rabbanan are concerned for Goyimim. Yet by our case, we find that their opinions are just the opposite. Omer of Ada Bahava Omer Rav, Mechlefes Hashita. We have to reverse the opinions of that Mishnah to make them consistent. Actually, the Mefarshim explain to reverse the opinion of our Braisa. Because Mefarshim explain that if we have a Mishnah, we have a Braisa, we could assume that the version of the Braisa is more authoritative and correct. The version of the Mishnah is more authoritative and correct than the version of the Braisa. So we're going to say that something is not correct and must be reversed. We should say it's the Braisa. There is no reason to make any reversals. But the Mai, that Mishnah is a situation of the Mai. Because we know, as the Gemara says, but Maya Kilu, because Roiv Amaretz Masum Heim. The truth of the matter is, Roiv Amaretz take off Trumas and Maisvis. And therefore, we really have no reason to be concerned. Just Chazal, as the whole Masechta the Maya teaches us, we're concerned, they made this Chumra, that if you buy produce from Amaretz, you have to be concerned that he didn't take off Trumas and Maisvis. But that's a Chumra, and therefore, we don't have to be concerned. Amar Rava. So Rava says Tabaya. We had a Kasha of Yehuda and Yehuda, and he gave an answer. Rabbi Yehuda Kasha, but was that our only Kasha? Rabbanan like Kasha? Didn't we have a Kasha on the Rabbanan? That here we find in our Sugya, the Rabbanan are not Chai Shish for Gaimlin, and there in the Mishnah we find the Rabbanan are Chai Shish for Gaimlin. How are we going to answer that Kasha? Says the Gemara. Rabbi Yehuda like Kasha. The reason there's no problem with Rabbi Yehuda, Kedeshaninon, because that Mishnah, the Mai Hikilu. So that's answered. How do we resolve the question about the Rabbanon? The Rabbanon had Rabbanon like Kasha. Could Omer Avchama Bar Ukva, Bishkliyam Nasu Bayodai. This situation, says the Rabbanon, makes absolutely no sense. We have a person who's a truck driver, who's obviously anxious to sell his material. He brought along all of the material, all the paraphernalia that is associated with selling. And then he goes and denigrates his material. There's something wrong. That's why we're chashish v'gamlan. Hachanami kishim claim los v'yodai, that's why it's different. Ask the Gemara, v'heichi d'itma d'rafcham v'rokfa, where do we find this halachic principle that when somebody has the kalim, it makes a difference, it makes an indication? A hard if not. There's a Mishnah in Masechta Taharis. The Mishnah says, Hakadar Sheniyah Kidiroisa. Again, we always say this. They lived in a world that Tum and Tahara was very important. So we have a person selling pots. And if somebody Tomei touched the pot, he'll make the pot Tomei. So if somebody's selling these pots, the Yorid Lishtois, and he goes and he is Mesiach Das, he doesn't pay attention to the pots. He went to take a drink. They went away from it. So Mishnah says, Apnimia is Tahiris, the inner parts are Tahiris, the Chetzonia is Tumeis, and the outer parts are Tamei. We'll explain this soon, what this means. So ask the Gemara, Vatanya Elevela Tumeis. Here, the Mishnah differentiates between the inner parts versus the outer parts. There's a Bryce that says they're both are Tamei. How do we reconcile it? Amar Rav Chaim Bar Okva, Bishklei Amnos B'yodai, Mnei Sheyara Kol Misham Shemspen. The answer Rami Bachama gives is very simple. If it's obvious that these pots I have, my intent is to sell the pots, so everybody feels free to touch my pots. They want to look at them. They want to examine them to perhaps buy them. Therefore, if I wasn't watching them, and there's a concern that a person who's an Amoritz, who would make the pot Tomei by touching it, touch the pot, it becomes Tomei. On the other hand, if I'm not, it's my own private property, so nobody's going to touch something that's mine, then they'll remain Tomei. And actually, V'atanya, and that's how we're going to explain the other Braisa, that says, Eil Veil V'Tairis, all the pots are Tor. I'm Rav Chaim Bar Okva. And how does Rav Chaim Bar Okva explain that Braisa? B'she'en claim nasi v'yodai. Well, it's not obvious that I want to sell these pots, so nobody's going to touch my personal property. So now we can understand, number one, the concept of claim nasi v'yodai, where somebody has the for sale sign. It has a relevance in halacha. That's why if I have a for sale sign over my pots, I have to be concerned that people are touching it. That's why there's a for sale sign with a tefuah. We have to be concerned, why is he denigrating it if at the same time he's trying to sell it? But we have one more kasha. The Mishnah Masechta Taharos that we began this piece of Gemara started with the words Pnimius and Timaeus. Differentiate between the inner ones and the outer ones. So how do we understand that Mishnah? If I'm selling the pots, then they should all be Tamei if I'm not watching them. If I'm not obviously selling the pots, they should all be Tamei. Why does the Mishnah differentiate between the inner and the outer ones? How do we explain that Mishnah? Answers the Gemara, the smichel rishus rabim, or meshchufi rishus rabim. The case here is referring to such a case. We had such a concept in Masechta Shabbos. Rishus Rabbim was 16 amos wide. But sometimes there's a very large crowd walking through the Rishas Rabbim, and there's an overflow. So even though there were such barriers between the Rishas Rabbim and the Rishas HaYochid, people sometimes, because of the overflow, walked in to that area. And I left the pats in that area. So the pats that are right next to the Rishas Rabbim, people, and there are all sorts of people walking in the Rishas Rabbim, including people who are Tamei, become Tamei. The paths that are deeper into the Rishus HaYochid, so there's nobody from the Rishus HaRabim walking there, these paths are not obviously open for sale, and that's why they remain tar. Ibai Seima, another way of reconciling, going back to what we learned on Amun Aleph, the opinions of Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbanan in our sugya versus the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbanan regarding Gaimlin. Ibai Seima, Yehuda Rabbanan b'malam b'trum aliyuchsin k'miflegi. Their machlokes is, if we allow the person to eat truma, are we concerned that he's going to also be considered a full-fledged kayin? In other words, as we learned in the Braisa on Amun Aleph, everybody agrees that just because somebody says that somebody else is a kayin, we're not going to accept that testimony, especially when it's a situation of goyimlin. The Rabbanim say, just because we're going to let him eat truma, doesn't mean we have to be concerned that we're going to treat him as a full-fledged kayin. And that's how we let him eat truma. Yehuda says, no. If we're going to let him eat truma, we may also come to treat him as a full-fledged kayin. And that's why we have to be machmer. However, says Tosfos, that only reconciled Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. Why he's machmer in our sugya, and not machmer in Masechet Damai. But we still have a stir in Rabbanan. Why they make al here a machmer in the sugya of Damai? So Tosfos says, regarding the Rabbanon, the Kashin the Rabbanon, we're not going to have any choice but to remain with the teretz of Kli Umnasai Biyadai, to differentiate between our Gemara and that Gemara, that obviously there's something wrong here. The person wants to sell his product and yet is denigrating it. Ask the Gemara. Ibailu Ma'ala Halas Mishtaris Liyotzen. That means that we have a shtar, and the person writes in the shtar. I write in the shtar, I the Kayin, borrowed money from you. So the question is very obvious. Is that, and now Adam sign on that shtar. So the Gemara's question is, when Adam sign on the shtar, are they signing on every detail in the shtar? Well, their purpose, they view their purpose as to say Adam that there was a loan. But to get into all the details, exactly what is your yichus, that's not what they are here for. Says the Gemara, hey chidami, ilayim d'ksibay ani ploini koin chesamti aid. If somebody is appointed to be an aide, could come up very often. You come to, somebody's asked to be an aide by a wedding, a ksuva, a tanoim. And the person considers himself a kohen. So he signs the shtar, I the kohen. That's certainly not a question that wouldn't be a proof that he's a kohen. Hechid dami, ilayim d'ksibbe ani ploin k'samti aide. Somebody who signs himself as an aide, who's saying that that's true? Leitzricha, the situation, as we explained, that the Gemara's question refers to, is the ksibe ani ploini kayin levisi money v'ploin. A person says, I, the kayin, borrowed $100 from someone else. The chsim usadi, and there were edim, signed to this document. And the Gemara's question is, mai, amonish abishtar kamasadi, are they saying testimony about the basic transaction that took place, that there was a loan? No, Adam are careful to say testimony about every little detail in the shtar. Says the Gemara, Rav Huna Rav Chizda, Machlokes Rav Huna Machizda, Charam Amalin, one says that they're saying Adus on every detail, Charam Amalin, that they don't say testimony in every detail, and therefore it's not a proof that the person is a kain. So there's a number of points to be made here, very important points. First of all, the Trumas Hadeshin and many other Achroinim prove from here that when a person signs his name or identifies himself, he's supposed to identify himself as a Kayin. Because we see here that this was part of the Shtar. The only question the Gemara has here is, did he aid him in saying testimony in that? But it was obvious that when a person who was a Kayin or a Levi signed the name, they're supposed to identify themselves as a Kayin or as a Levi. Although, I did see the following Halach L'maisa. The Paiskim are more machmer regarding Kahuna versus Leviyah. particularly nowadays where the kuna still carries some weight, the levia doesn't really carry any weight. The paiskim also say that if a get were written and the husband is a kohen and he didn't identify himself as a kohen, the get is puzzled. A ksuba, I saw from Moshe Feinstein as follows. We discussed the shayla. We'll discuss the shayla mitzvah Hashem again. That let's say a chas and a kala get married, and the halacha is that a husband's not allowed to remain with his wife if she has no ksuba. And the chasa comes home from the wedding, and he finds, and he looks at his ksuba, and he sees the ksuba, he's a kohen, and it doesn't say that he's a kohen. Do they have a problem that they have to start in the middle of the night write a new ksuba? That far, Moshe says we don't have to be machmer, but he does say the ksuba should be corrected. Now, there's a few.
What happened if the woman was the pastor?
No, that certainly the Paiskim won't make up. Tosfos says, our Gemara seems to indicate that it's not obvious that when somebody is signing on a shtar, he's being careful to make sure that if the person identified himself as a kohen, he's truly a kohen. However, Tosfos says that our Gemara has to be kept in context. Tosfos says many times in Shas, the Gemara discusses cities where there are more than one people. It could have come up in our communities. We live in Baruch Shem, large communities, where there are two people with the same name. And the Gemara speaks about Yosi ben Shimon, two people with the same name. And the Gemara gives all sorts of different, the Gemara basically says, with different types of examples, that we have to be careful of identifying the person in a way to know who it really is. Says Tosfos, in that type of a shtar, where we know that there's more than one person with the same name, and therefore we go to pain, to great pain, to identify their Adam signing on the shtar is clearly a proof that if it's signed that he's a kohen, he truly is a kohen. Because everybody knows that we're looking to make sure the proper identification is being met. Agama is referring in a situation, a regular shtar, where we don't have this concern. There's another interesting machlokes rishonim. It could come up very often. A person sells his house to another person. Now typically, and this is even nowadays, when a house is sold, the house, it says, I'm selling this in this house with the address, and also is usually attached a surveyor's report, what exactly are the boundaries of the house, what are the dimensions, what are the boundaries of the house. And we have Adam signed on the shtar. So the same question comes up. Do we say that the Adam are basically only saying Adis regarding the basic sale, that Reuven sold his house to Shimon? Or do we also say that they're saying testimony to the borders? Because if there'll be a dispute down the road exactly, which sometimes happens with neighbors, exactly to where my property goes, do the Edom play a role in that also? Interesting machlokes rishonim. There's another machlokes rishonim, which is as follows. There's a shtar. And the shtar is written Reuven ben Yaakov. And many times, when people's names are written, it says Reuven ben Yaakov, Nero Yoyer. Nero Yoyer means, or Shlita, that he's alive. The Rishonim discussed this. The Rajba, the Beis Yosef quotes the Rajba. So we have a shtar. The shtar was written today, with today's date. And it says on it, Reuven ben Yaakov, Shlita. So the question is, who is the Shlita going on? The son or the father? Because if there was a question later on, was Yaakov still alive at that date? So do we say the Shlita goes on the Yaakov, and this shtar is a proof that Yaakov was alive? Do we say that the Shlita goes back on the son? And that's why the Paiskim say, most people don't notice halacha, the right thing to do is when one signs a shtar, we should not write, or one's writing about somebody, he shouldn't write Reuven ben Yaakov Shlita if I'm writing about Reuven. I should write Reuven Shlita or Reuven Nero Yaor ben Yaakov. Continues the Gemara. Ibailu. Ma'al ha'alas min sees kapayim liyuchsin. If we see a kohen duchening, is that a proof that he's a kohen? Tibailu man da'ama explains the Gemara, this question is a question both according to the man da'ama mal matrim liyuchsin, but toilet ban the mama ain malin. In other words, the Gemara is saying regarding irrelevant to how we look at the previous shayla, that if somebody's eating truma, is that a proof that he's a kohen? That has no bearing on the shayla. The Gemara explains itself. To buy the Manda Amma Malin, according to Manda Amma, that says that we see somebody eating truma, that's clearly proof that he's a kohen. Hani Mili, perhaps truma is a proof davoy misihi. As we know, the halacha is that if a zor rachmano tzlon eats truma, he's chayiv misa. Avol nesis kapayim disa say, nesis kapayim, which is only an isa say, that isn't a proof. Loy, and we'll explain soon what the isa say when nesis kapayim is. Or perhaps we could say, just like eating truma, a zor's not eating truma, and therefore if he's eating truma, it's a proof that he's a kayin. Similarly, I say regarding kuna, I say regarding duchni. And tiboy le mandam e malin. It's also a question, according to mandam, it says, that eating truma is not necessarily a proof that one is a kayin. Why? Because I would say, hani mili truma, perhaps only truma is not a proof. The mis'ach le betzina. Truma is eaten privately. So since truma is eaten privately, so that's why it's not the proof. Because maybe the person is not a kohen, but nobody protested because nobody saw. Av nesis kapayim. Where is duchening done? It's done in shul. The fresia. E lav kohen, kula haylo machzav inish nafshi. If the person weren't truly a kohen, he wouldn't have the chutzpah to go up to duchen. Again, demalai shna, and there's no proof, not from truma, nor from duchening. Says the Gemara, it's a machloikis. Rav Chisda Ravina, Charam emalin, v'charam emalin, it's machloikis if duchening is a proof that one is a kain. So the Gemara said that eating, that doing, if one is not a kain, and he duchens, he's over basay. What is the essay? So most Rishonim learn the Gemara fairly simply. The Pasuk says, we're all familiar with the Pasuk, we say it every day, Kai Svachos B'nai Yisrael, Omer Aleyah, that the Kohanim are commanded to bless Klal Yisrael. So somebody who does bless Klal Yisrael when he's not a Kohen is Oyver Basay. Tosfos says that say is Bracha Levatola. We know that before Duchening a Bracha is made, somebody making that Bracha when he's not a Kohen is making a Bracha Levatola. The Hafla says a very interesting pshat. He quotes a Charedim. The Sefer Charedim says that one of the mitzvahs of the Torah is that a Yisrael has the obligation to get blessed by the Kohanim. It's a mitzvah for Yisrael to get blessed. That means, as the Hafla explains, there are people who give the bracha, they have a mitzvah to give a bracha. And there are people who get the bracha, they have a mitzvah to get the bracha. You can't be a giver and a getter. You either or. You can't be a giver and a taker. So if I'm a Yisrael, and I have a mitzvah to receive the bracha, and then I go up and give the bracha, I took away from myself the mitzvah of getting the bracha. Another pshat, along the same lines, is that the Kohanim have a mitzvah to give a bracha. Now, if there's a Yisrael, so they have who to give a bracha to. But if the Yisrael will go up and take and give the bracha, we're depriving the Kohen of being able to do his mitzvah of giving a bracha. And that's the say. One more vart in this Gemara. The Gemara says that eating truma is typically done b'tzina. So Sodom of Farshim explain with this Gemara the first Mishnah in Shas. Mishnah we learned beginning with Sechta Bracha says, when does the Zman Krishma begin? It says, Mishor Shekahanim Nechnosim Alecho B'Trumasam. So Farshim asks, what's Pshat Nechnosim that they go in? As we learned the Mishnah, after Harif Shemesh, after they went to the mikveh, they allowed to eat truma. What's the nechnasim? So the Mepharshim explained from our Mishnah we learned that truma is typically eaten b'tzina. So nechnasim, they go into their privacy, their home, lech b'trumasim, to eat the truma.